You're listening to a Sin podcast. You can listen to this show live by tuning your radio to 90.7 or online at sin.org.au.
We at Represent would like to acknowledge and pay our respects to the traditional owners of the land on which Sin operates, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Sin Media respectfully acknowledges elders past, present and emerging, and we would also like to acknowledge the traditional custodians and their ancestors of the lands and waters across Australia where our content reaches. Sovereignty has never been ceded, it always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Kids should go to school. That's what we're committed to.
Why do we want to fight it? When do we want it now?
I haven't flip-flopped. I said no originally, then I said yes, then I have said no, and I've stuck to it.
I didn't need to do this. I've already done a lot of wall for the election.
The English fought a civil war over this matter.
Don't deal with the nuance of the Canberra bubble.
I don't know what to do with it. We have so much money.
What we want is more learning in schools and less activism in schools.
Issues that perhaps may be controversial today, but 30 years from now, your children, your grandchildren are going to be thankful that you stood up for what was right.
Represent.
Represent.
Represent. You're listening to Represent.
You are listening to Represent. We are back for our last week of the season.
I'm crying right now.
Can't believe this. Good save, Freddie. Good save.
Thank you. Just like we saved Sin. Hashtag save Sin.
Yay.
You can still donate, I think, maybe.
Oh, you said that last week.
GiveNow.com.au/save Sin. I'm checking right now.
Nah, it's closed now.
Do we have a final dollar amount that we... That we got donated?
Oh, well, if it wasn't closed, I'd be able to see it. Yeah. It's over 60 grand.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Plus the 100,000 that Natalie Silliman gave us last week. Thank you.
We should be running for a long time then.
Yeah.
We'll be...
It's not going anywhere.
Never get rid of us.
I'm sure. Yeah, exactly. It'll be put to good use. Good, efficient use. But yeah. How are we all going? How are we feeling today?
I'm feeling good. I'm just reading the press release that the government put out because, unfortunately, Represent was not informed about this $100,000.
We were also not informed that the Minister for Youth would be,
in the studios.
thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Appreciate the no notice. But you know what? That's okay, because we can get interviews ourselves.
Did you know that up to 1,500 young people have volunteered at Sin over the past decade?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Up to?
According to Natalie Sullivan.
Up to 1,500 people. Anywhere from 0 to 1,500 people have donated
to Sin. It's at least four.
That's so true. I'm actually not a volunteer. I just kind of walked in here. No one questioned it.
Damn.
Weren't we the start of Hamish and Andy?
We were.
I think so,
and Zan Rowe. And was Rose McManus like, us as well? Tim McDonald.
Yeah, that's the one.
Actually, have you guys been watching Zan Rowe's music interview
Take Five,
show?
Right?
Yeah.
I haven't watched the clips that come up on Instagram.
I hear ads about it a lot.
I don't know why.
They had the person who wrote
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
They were so funny. It was a really good show.
Were his favourite songs all of his ones?
Oh, I can't remember them.
You're welcome from Moana.
They're always very obscure. Yeah,
the song that he made for the not very good Little Mermaid remake.
Oh, I didn't know
he I think he did two for that movie, but didn't.
And you don't like the movie?
No, I didn't like the movie. It was 2.5 hours of very mediocre.
It was really long.
Wow.
Just watch the original one.
It was 2.5 hours.
The new one. Just watch the original one that's 90 minutes and so much better.
I only watched it, but I was like trying to take up time on an aeroplane, so I wouldn't have known.
That's
that long. And I didn't, I had said that I wasn't going to make it because I was like, I wasn't going to watch it because I wasn't going to support remakes of films. I was like, get some new ideas.
What are your other bad remakes that you don't like?
Oh, I don't think they're bad. Like, I love Cinderella. I love Beauty and the Beast. But they're still remakes. I would like some new ideas.
I mean, there's a lot of new ideas.
There's some new ones, like, you know.
But I want more. I want more Disney princesses.
Oh, okay.
I want more in that. Like, if they're going to make new films, let's bring out a new princess.
Someone said that Disney should acquire the studio that makes The Hunger Games, so Katniss can be a Disney princess.
Yes, please. What's her face? Lucy Greybeard.
Oh, yeah, Rachel Zegler's character.
Yeah, I've just finished hand-stitching the bias binding around her corset from the film.
Oh, like the rainbow thing?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I want that, and I want to wear it to the film, but my sewing machine broke.
I saw that film again this week.
Oh, yeah, is it good?
You've seen it twice. There's a story behind why I've seen it twice.
There's always a story about why you see movies twice.
Do you want to know this? Do you guys want to know the story? Because it's quite a funny story. Yeah. So basically, I was going out with my mates to see Napoleon, which apparently isn't very good.
I heard it was
good. I heard it was not very good. But, we went out to see Napoleon, we got dinner, we went to the cinema at 6 o'clock, because there was a session at 6 o'clock, mm-hmm. and we were going there for that. We all agreed we would be seeing Napoleon at 6 o'clock at that cinema, right? So we get to the cinema at 6 o'clock, we're going to buy our tickets, there's 5 of us, mm-hmm. and one of my mates goes, I don't want to see Napoleon anymore. And we're like, why not? And we're like, and he says, because I don't like historical fiction. And I'm like, that's really great.
That's but really you could have broad.
You also could have said that, you know, a week ago before we agreed to go to the cinema at this time. And the only other movie playing within the next, like, hour and a half was The Hunger Games. And my mate was like, I want to see The Hunger Games. But my other mate was like, no, I don't want to see The Hunger Games. That movie looks terrible.
I have to say, I do kind of agree. Yeah. Like, the scene where she gets called up and just starts singing.
That's a bit funny.
I was like, what the hell?
Rachel Zegler's a really good singer, I'm going to say.
The book was really, really good.
No singing allowed.
Yeah, I've been told that by one of the people who've seen it, one of my friends, said that it's disappointing because the first three Hunger Games books and the four movies are very similar, especially the first book and the first film. They're done. Mm-hmm. They feel the same. Yeah, they're very close.
I guess Mockingjay probably isn't very close.
Story's pretty much the same. It's been a while since I've revisited them, but there's nothing I was super angry about. Like, there's things in Harry Potter films where I'm like, I cannot believe you chopped out that character, and there are one or two characters chopped out. But this one, I've heard there's a lot of sparkled a bit rather than the book was massive, and the book was huge. It would have been almost the size of all three of the first books.
I looked it up, the book was 500 pages and the other books were around 350.
A prequel?
Yeah,
it's huge. I know. And it's so funny because I go back to, I'm like, I can't remember that much that happens.
Yeah. In the book or the movie?
In the book. I just remember the start and the end. And I'm like,
yeah, fair enough.
There must be enough stuff.
How close it is.
How long is it?
The movie's like 2.5 hours.
I'm going to fall asleep.
But anyway.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
To wrap up my story.
Yeah, sorry.
These two argued for 20 minutes at the cinema.
So you'd missed the start of Napoleon by then?
No, it would have just been starting by the time the dude who hated The Hunger Games just gave up and was like, let's go see The Hunger Games. And the entire time, he was very audibly just groaning through the whole thing. And this was, like, not a quiet cinema. Like, there were a fair few people around us. And I was just like, you are so annoying. And at one point, look, I will admit the third act, the second time I watched it, the entire third act is pretty ridiculous.
Right.
And one of my mates just says, like, straight up, not even whispering, he just says, this is so stupid.
There's a third act?
The movie's set into three parts.
Oh, like so the book. Like,
yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
You're saying you're watching a film without having read the book?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Have you met? You guys are like the opposite.
Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, so I saw Hunger Games a second time. I didn't see Napoleon, but Hunger Games was still pretty good the second time, I guess.
I thought people liked Napoleon.
Yeah, likewise.
It started off okay, but apparently...
Oh, so you have seen Napoleon?
Oh, no, I haven't seen it. But like the reception. I heard the only bad thing was the script. Which is, like, the whole movie.
But they said, like, the acting is good and the... Well, that's
they redeem it a little bit.
It was getting 4 stars.
My favourite thing was someone complaining that it wasn't very, like, historically accurate, and that's why the movie wasn't very good, and the director just said, like, French people don't even like themselves, so shut up. Which is so bizarre. But yeah, what else? Whatever. Well, I guess that's what I did on the weekend. What did everyone else do?
I don't even remember.
I went to a house party on Friday, housewarming.
That's nice. Good stuff. Was it fun? Was it good?
It was very
What's the house
fun.
Like?
The house is quite nice. It's a terrace, but, like, is it a double front? I don't think it's double fronted, but it's huge. Mm. Like, you know when terraces just keep going and you're like, how is this all fitting in a terrace?
Yeah.
It was like that because there's a four-person share house, so there's
rooms.
I feel like I did other stuff, but I can't remember what it was. Oh, on Sunday I went to the Italian festival. Did you hear about that?
No,
not at
it's
all.
It's at the exhibition building.
Okay.
And it was really good, and there were a lot of people. I don't know why I expected it there to not be many people, but it was packed.
Oh, really?
And the food is really good. I had the best lasagna I've probably ever had.
Yum.
That sounds so good.
It was really, really good.
God damn.
Yeah. I did some, I had a performance on Saturday night. I had actually quite a very busy day on Saturday. I had, like, teaching in the morning and then an audition in the middle of the day and then a performance at night, and then I was meant to go to a party after that. Well, I did go to a party, but the party started at 8, and I didn't go on stage until, like, 8:45, so...
Okay.
I was quite late, and then I had a
That's okay.
quiet day to recover on Sunday.
Beg for forgiveness.
Yeah, exactly.
Ask for permission.
Well, I did ask. I was like, hey, I'm really sorry.
Fair anyway. Enough. Well, there was no point. Just ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Niall?
I went to a 90th. So it's been part of Central.
Jeez, that would have been wild. bit of a rager.
I've been to an 80th, but never a 90th.
Yeah, I've never been to a 90th.
It was a very nice lunch. The food was beautiful. They had gluten-free crumble, and they had an apple crumble and a rhubarb crumble. I had some of both.
You wouldn't have apple and rhubarb crumble?
Well, one of them was apple and rhubarb. But then one of them didn't have rhubarb, which was
That's crazy.
Nice,
rhubarb
but
is so good.
Also, I really like rhubarb and crumble. But I guess, like, I suppose younger people, I know, like, my brother, I don't know if he likes it. He might like it now, but as a kid, I don't think he liked it because it's a bit tart.
It's just because brothers are weak.
I'll tell him that.
Yeah.
Unless he's listening. Unlikely. But
anything's possible.
Yeah, but other than that, it was quiet. I did some work, and on... I feel like I did something on Friday that I can't remember anymore. Okay. I remembered it when I was thinking about it earlier, and now it's gone. But
you
the
didn't come in on
the
Friday.
I did not. Oh, right. I was at home miserable on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was all right. Sunday was really fun doing that. It was out in Flowerdale, so it was really nice too, and the drive was
Where
really
is
pretty.
That?
Flowerdale is like towards the top of Eildon, near Lake Eildon.
Okay.
It's sort of, it's heading towards, if we then headed on, we'd normally go to Mansfield if we were going in that direction. We would cross over, Lake Eildon. So yeah, it's that direction. Lovely,
beautiful.
Bushy. We, skimmed rocks and an alpaca was born that morning. And so we got to look at a baby alpaca and it was so cute.
It's nice.
Crazy time.
Because your life and I most of the time sounds like a Disney movie.
Yeah, that's true.
I love like that. We skimmed rocks and we had rhubarb.
I went to a 90th.
And we went to a place called Flowerdale.
Alpaca.
Like, what is Flowerdale?
Flowerdale does sound completely made up.
It is. I'm making it all up.
Damn.
Oh, good stuff.
All right, well, should we go to a song before we talk shop?
Yeah, why not? Well, yeah, our shop of movies and our weekends.
Well, no, we haven't talked shop yet.
We're going to do it all again.
What song do you want to listen to? We've
got
Willow
by Day, sorry.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, well, we may as well, you know.
Oh,
it's the start of the show.
There we go.
So.
We got to usher it in. We got to play
our new intro.
We got to play our iconic Represent songs. I don't know what iconic songs we would have.
I feel like we've referenced a lot of songs through the year. We should go through that.
We've referenced a lot of songs, but we don't. We haven't played any of them because we didn't know how to.
Hey, we know how now. Anyway.
But we've referenced Willow by Taylor Swift and we're about to play that right now.
Yes, we are. You're on Represent. We've got actual politics coming up right after this. All right, welcome back to Represent.
Jeez, that was so good.
I know,
Willow
what a banger.
By Taylor Swift, my favourite.
We actually weren't talking in the studio, we were just dancing.
We actually, yeah.
Singing along.
Yeah. All right, who wants to go first? We were too busy dancing to decide.
Should we just go from the top? Yeah.
Mine's quite short, so I feel like we can bang out the short ones.
Let's just go straight through the whole thing. Yeah, mine's short as well.
Am I the start anyway? Oh, I am.
You are. We're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4.
All right. The Australian National University has surveyed 4,200 people who voted. Survey.
It's a lot of people.
It's 4, a microcosm of Australia.
It's more than four.
Who voted in our latest referendum, which aims to enshrine an Indigenous voice to Parliament. The survey has uncovered three main findings, which I will go through with you now. Firstly, that despite voting no in October's referendum, 76% of no voters who were surveyed agreed that First Nations Australians should have a say in matters affecting them. That's weird. Why would they agree with that if they voted no in the referendum?
Great question, maybe.
Yeah.
Professor Biddle, who co-authored the study, says that this demonstrates that the principles of the voice were well supported, but that the mechanisms and some of the specifics about the voice model were what voters disagreed with.
Okay.
Now, I couldn't find, like, what mechanisms these were or what these specifics were.
Well, I was
What do you guys think that he means?
I saw on Q&A last night, someone was talking about this. I can't remember who now, because I read it in an article afterwards.
I was
going to
say,
watch
you watched
it.
Q&A?
Yeah, I know, out of character.
I would have been shocked.
But whoever it was, they said, like, it was just, well, his kind of assessment of it was that the Yes campaign ignored that people wanted more information and just said, you're racist for wanting more information.
Mm.
And that, like, that was what he said the biggest problem was.
Mm-hmm. So people felt ill-informed.
Yeah.
I also think the Yes Voters, Yes campaign just wasn't great at advertising to no voters, because it was, like, a lot of their ad campaigns were, like, telling stories of, like, putting personalities to it, right? Which is, like, good and very heartfelt and very effective for cementing opinions that are already there.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to get someone to convert, like, that's not going to do anything, I don't think. But
yeah, and I don't think they were as big on social media as the no people. Like,
we talked about
TikTok.
That on the show, yeah. No, they were not. We had the stats to back it up.
All right, second, he found that there were huge gaps between yes and no voters, and this came down to what he has coined as the four Gs: gender, generation, graduation, and geography. Meaning that young women with a university degree who lived in a capital city were more likely to vote yes.
Yeah.
So, an example... Yeah, I thought this was really interesting. Which puts this into perspective is that he found that about 20% of those who had not completed Year 12 voted yes, compared to about 60% who held a postgraduate degree.
Yeah, that's a big gap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Three times the amount.
Yeah, which that's got to be, like, statistically unusual.
Yeah.
Three times. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess the people who have done the degrees, they can sort of research for themselves and understand kind of the jargon that maybe was out there.
That doesn't totally surprise me.
Yeah,
though.
Potentially the people who hadn't finished Year 12 wouldn't.
Yeah. I think we're all in agreement at that point, I guess, yeah.
Thirdly, Professor Biddle found that attitudes have shifted towards democracy. He states that there was a big drop after the referendum in the percentage of Australians who said they were satisfied or very satisfied with democracy in Australia. Adding that, the fact that this percentage has dropped shows that there has potentially been some kind of negative impact from the campaign. Which I think we kind of thought that people would get a little bit disengaged with another referendum. We kind of already said that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no appetite for another referendum.
Yeah. So I guess maybe these findings are not new news to represent. We were there already.
We are ahead of the curve. We are the best.
Yeah.
We are so good.
But I had a few questions. You kind of already answered my first one. But I wanted to bring up this excerpt from the survey, and I don't want to mince my words because I have a thought here that I'm trying to get out, but it's hard to get out. I'm feeling it's difficult.
You got this. I believe in you.
So the survey states, no voters were more likely to speak a language other than English at home, have levels of low education, and live in a low-income household. Now, these are obviously facts. Won't deny that. But I kind of thought that it was interesting that the ABC reported... like, this data, and I wonder if it kind of perpetuates a stereotype of a no voter and like one that like doesn't benefit trying to close a gap. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I think so. I get what you're saying, but also if this is a fact, is there any avoiding that?
Yeah, it's tricky, right?
It can kind of perpetuate stereotypes. Yeah,
but it's also important to know, because that's where people then need to target their kind of more helpful
their campaign, outreach, that sort of thing.
Like, with this referendum, things felt very emotionally volatile.
Very much so. And I feel like
why this, like, sticks a bit more, because I feel like it did become a thing of, like, a no voter or a yes voter had a certain type of stereotype.
Yeah.
And, like, I think it's interesting, I guess, that the data does fit the stereotype, but just the way that things can become very, like, I don't know how to describe
kind of polarized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, whether these statistics are good to, like,
should we be reporting on them? Is the question.
Yeah, platforming them.
Like, yes, they're good to have for people that actually, like, maybe making a campaign. But should we be, like,
I guess it depends if people keep on mentioning them, like, up in the lead up to elections and things. Because I feel like, you know, putting them in an article once is not the same as being on TV and being like on the project or something and being like, oh, and this is all the people who didn't vote yes. Like, I guess if you're generalising on and depending on the platform, it's kind of a case-by-case basis.
It's depending on how you're reporting on it as well, because it's very different to mention that in an article and then put that on a front page.
Or to put it to a face.
Exactly, like,
if you were to do a sort of profile, I would be a bit like,
because it'd be like, because you wouldn't want to put on the front page next, like, a photo of, like, a stock image of or something, and put a headline where it's like,
this person voted no.
Foreign, dumb, poor people voting no. Like, you know, doing that would be perpetuating a stereotype, but I think reporting a fact, if it's, like, a line in an article that talks about relevant information to this set of statistics, like, I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah.
Like, it's information.
Yeah.
All right. Definitely. I just wanted to get the cogs turning in your heads.
Yeah.
They're being turned.
Yeah. Do you want to do the last question?
I can do the last question. I'm conscious.
I was like, is this leading up to something bigger? Like, what are we. Like, the cogs are turning. I'm ready.
Like, I know we've got three more segments to go. I was just feeling. Like, do you feel like this is getting a bit too American?
It's very...
It's scarily American-like to me.
Yeah. Like, when we go into... I guess it depends if this sort of keeps being talked about into the lead-up to the next elections. I think the closest one is the Queensland one next year.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is there one before that?
I think that's the next one.
I think so. And so then that's pretty close to the next federal election. So then I guess it depends whether this stays front of mind.
It feels more of an Australian tendency is to go after the marginal seats as a group rather than people as a demographic.
Like, yeah. Do you think the referendum will change that, though?
I don't think it will necessarily, because some of this we would already know, like, generally where people sit on a very generalised conservative, less conservative scale. And I think they'll definitely be... I think we'll definitely handle... I'd hope that maybe campaigns would be handled a bit more graciously, with a little bit more care for who it might affect. But I think for an ease of access to people who need persuading, it's much easier for governments and opposition to spend money on marginal seats than it would be to try and target an age group or an education level nationwide.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you for indulging me.
I can't believe it's November and we're still talking about the voice referendum.
Oh, we're never going to stop, Freddie. We are never going to stop.
This is just the beginning.
Well, my cogs are turning now. I'm ready to... Can we just talk about the voice for the rest of the show?
No, we're going to talk about climate. Do you want to do a song or should we just go into it?
Let's just keep the party going, all right. I reckon.
Well, let's talk COP28.
My favourite COP.
I feel like the biggest COP was COP26. That was when everyone was thinking about it. But now we're at COP28.
COP21, bro, that was the best.
Really? What year was that, Freddie?
I can tell you that information.
2020.
It was 2015, guys.
Yeah.
Come on, really. Get up with your COPs. Like, really. God, I know all of them off by heart.
Well, anyway. COP28 is due to start on Thursday in Dubai. Okay. So happy 2 days until COP.
Oh, I've been celebrating.
This is going to be the biggest one so far.
But you sound like it's a festival.
I know. The most ticket holders. On the set list. Joe Biden is not on the set list.
Oh, disappointing.
Neither is Xi Jinping, very sadly.
Not a surprise.
Yeah, probably not. But leaders from 198 countries and 70,000 delegates will be there. Isn't that crazy?
Albo going to be
there?
I
knew you were going to ask that.
Mind reader.
Hang on.
But is he?
Well, talking
about
something
else. Well, you don't include the important information, Brady.
It's an important information. I was just very busy.
70,000 delegates is crazy.
I know. Imagine, like, the hotel bars after, like, a day of copping.
That would be copping.
I'd like to have been at COP23 in Germany.
Why? Just because it's in Germany?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Entirely. I feel like it'd be a great... I've always loved the idea that work could be a reason to go and look at other pretty places in the world.
No, fair enough. Well, there you go, journalism. Yep. Perfect. What does COP actually stand for?
Because Conference of the Parties.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
So it's basically everyone comes together under the UN... framework for climate change convention, I think.
It is climate change. Okay, cool. Because I was like, anytime I see an acronym and a number, I think climate change.
Oh, really?
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
That's so funny.
Because it's like G20 and then
that's not
net
climate
zero.
Change. That's the economy.
No, they talk about climate change around those times. There's always a discussion. And I go, climate change.
I guess so.
They had COP13 in Bali.
Ooh. Well, they had last year's one in Egypt.
That's
that sounded
cool.
Quite interesting.
I just think Bali COP would go off like schoolies, you know?
I have no idea if Albo is going. There's no press release.
COP
on his 1?
That's disappointing.
He's probably been flying to too many places.
I know.
Oh, COP. But 2026 COP is in Australia.
Oh. Well, they want it to be in Australia.
We should go.
They announced
plans.
We have
the right to have it in Australia.
It's between Australia and Pacific countries, isn't it?
Yeah, as in, like shared between them. Yeah. But also, it might be in Turkey?
It's a bid.
It's a bid, yeah.
That's what I said.
So it's like the Olympics.
I'm glad someone's on
it. It's exactly like the climate change Olympics. So lots of countries this year plan to push for a deal on phasing out coal, oil and gas, the big three.
Good luck Australia to that, I guess.
Well, exactly. Yeah. That's why it's pretty controversial about Australia wanting to host.
We shouldn't be allowed to until we lower our...
Exactly.
There we go.
That is exactly their complaints.
Mm.
It's in Dubai, which is a bit like...
That's also a bit
interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the biggest oil and gas producers in the world.
Smelling a lot of hypocrisy
at
COP at the moment.
So there was a bit of controversy earlier in the year about how it would be led by the UAE's Minister for Planning and Innovation,
mm-hmm.
who just happens to also be head of an oil company.
Oh my
kinda classic,
god!
Right?
It's kind of like bad weather on a 4-day festival. It's
exactly,
not,
it's splendor.
Yeah,
splendor in the mud.
George went to that, you know.
Really? Oh god, yeah. I'm so sorry, George.
He came back and he just looked so sad. Do you remember?
Yeah. That's a rough gig.
Anyway, Rishi Sunak will be there. Presence. King Charles will give the opening address.
How random.
That's
crazy.
I
don't think it's that random. He loves the climate.
True. Not
he
bad, but I'm more
like...
He
loves the climate.
Yeah.
He seems so old, I can't imagine him, like, doing anything.
I feel like he must just be doing it by video. Surely
there's no way he's going
Isn't he about to travel, like, to Dubai. Next year he's going to do a world trip.
What?
I swear it's
really?
Like,
is
a when world is trip? King Charles
feel
coming
like
to Australia?
Can bro hold that pressure going up and down on the plane? Like, what?
Probably not.
Yeah, he's likely to visit Australia sometime between 24 and 25.
What's the point of going on a world tour?
Because you're king, and that's what you do. And
king.
No,
I mean,
one's done
that
in a while.
Good? That'd be a good way to travel for work, is if you were king.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I thought you were suggesting a Represent world tour.
Hey, that's even better.
That would be good. Would Sin pay for that?
King Charles on the show.
Do you know what? I'll send them an email.
Send them an email.
Can you come
right
on for
now.
Friday, please?
Can we actually send them an email? How funny would that be?
I'll send them an email.
Do it. Why not?
Okay. But first, we're going to finish talking about my segment,
about
and then I'll write an email. Yeah. So, ironically, it's not really ironic. The website for this cop, it had like a little toggle button on it that you could pick to be on the low carbon side or the full experience side. In theory, it would like stop downloading images so that it would use less carbon in the servers.
That's
makes sense,
fair,
right?
Fair, yeah.
But like, just make the full experience low carbon.
Yeah, exactly. What's the point of having an option?
Experts looked at it and they were like, when you just, it downloads all the images as soon as you load it. So this low carbon thing doesn't do anything.
Also, it actually, okay, interesting.
And so they were all like, this is greenwashing. Why are
that's
you greenwashing
so
the website?
That's like, I went to a burger place one time and they asked, like, do you want a paper or a plastic straw? And I'm like, what? Just give me the paper one if you're going to offer me the paper. Like, what? I just thought that was so weird.
That is a bit weird.
Like, why?
Like, people hate paper straws, but
people
I feel like
do.
That's why they ask.
But if you want it, like,
but I feel like I would judge you if you said that in front of me and you asked for plastic.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, but it's just like, what's the point of having the option?
I know.
Yeah. And they're already there. So I'm
true. But then they wouldn't have to buy more.
True.
Anyway, that's not the point.
Someone, please, the love of God, invent something better than a paper straw.
Yeah.
There's bamboo straws that are really good.
Yeah, or reusable metal straws.
Reusable, but also you can't just, like, does people just carry around their reusable?
No, because you have to wash them.
What if you have multiple drinks the same day while you're out?
It's like, exactly. It's
there
an
we
issue.
Go. It's like, what if you want to have, like, a Coke and then a
what
milkshake?
What happened to just holding a drink and sipping the, like...
That's boring.
True. Wait, you know what? Oh, my gosh. I wonder if this is,
the solution to climate change? No.
I just realized that George isn't here, but I was about to be like, do you guys remember? I was like, George is the only one who went to Europe. In Europe, they don't give you lids.
Nice flex.
Really? They don't give you lids of any of your beverages.
Even at, like, Macca's and
so
stuff?
Annoying. Yes,
really?
If you got hot coffee... You just had the cup.
Oh.
They wouldn't
smart.
Give you a lid.
Wow.
That's good.
Which is good, but...
Maybe it encourages people to, like, sit down and get a mug and, like, sit.
That's very European.
I guess you could say, like, with that, though, like, it could end in disaster, and I guess, like, clumsy people are just going to have to cop it.
Congratulations, Cody.
Thank you. I'm going now.
So moving on. The issue of loss and damage... I think we can expect to see that in the news a little bit, which is basically where wealthy countries have to pay poorer countries to compensate for the effects of climate change that the wealthy countries are inflicting. That was a really big topic last year, but kind of nothing came of it, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one to watch.
Mm. Is it controversial because countries could just pay less wealthy countries and just keep doing the same thing and then not have to change their ways?
Well, and also,
is it because the wealthy countries didn't want to do it, but the poorer countries did want it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Yeah. And so, do you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about Chris Bowen, I think, going around saying we're not going to meet our climate change targets?
Yes.
He's changed his tune big time.
Wait, are we talking about Chris Bowen or are we talking about... Chris Bowen. Are you sure that's Chris Bowen?
Well, it wasn't Tanya Plibersek that we were talking about.
No, definitely not.
Anyway, some...
What doesn't matter?
Well, the energy minister. I'm sure it was the energy minister.
It might be. Is it Chris Bowen's?
Anyway, they're saying now we're only 1% off our target of 43% emissions reduction by 2030.
It's Chris Bowen.
There we go.
Good work.
So he's saying we're a lot closer than we were 3 weeks ago. When we were saying we're not close at all.
That's great.
I know. Aren't you so relieved?
Yeah.
So I just thought that was interesting. What, like, do you think they're just sort of trying to spin this just in the lead up to COP? Well, I don't know, but it was really not long ago. Like, let me look on Omni and see what episode we were talking about that.
Because surely you can't just lie.
No, maybe you could use different stats. or something, or a different analysis. We've gone down in the downloads,
hey,
guys.
Hey, Bridie, when you find the stats and stuff, can you copy and paste it into the run sheet, please?
Oh, good one.
Guys, I need my support, please. Please don't make it sound uncomfortable.
No, he's forcing me.
No.
He's forcing me to laugh.
But
yeah. It was Jim Chalmers that was talking about it.
I thought that it was. Yes, because I spoke about that.
That was November 3rd.
Yeah, it was.
That is within the month.
That is within the month.
Like, I reckon variety. That's a bit suspicious. Anyway, so I was wondering, what do you guys think we'll see out of this conference? Will we get a deal on oil and gas and coal being phased out?
No.
No.
No. Will it be because it's in Dubai or just
no? No, it won't. I think no matter where at this point, you're not getting an agreement.
I don't
no
think that Dubai's helping, though.
No, Dubai definitely won't help, but it's. I don't think it's
like,
happening.
I don't even
regardless.
Think it'll be on discussion there.
But how much power does the host country have over what is discussed?
Probably not a whole lot, but it's also the setting. Yeah.
It's
just where you are.
And I think there's more access for lobbyists.
Yes.
True. But maybe they'll realise, like, there'll just be this massive crash in Dubai or something the week before, and they'll be like, we cannot let the world get to this.
Well, hopefully.
What? Like a crash?
Oh, just like
a computer crash?
No, like a crash in...
An economic crash?
Economy and the world in Dubai, and they'll be like, you know, if we keep exporting... Is it coal and oil?
Dubai is oil and gas.
Oil and gas. The way that they are, the whole world will end up like this. But at the moment, they're looking really shiny and fancy.
Yeah.
They all
fair
yeah.
Are
Dubai
really
is pretty swish at the moment. They've gone big on desalination, I read.
Yes.
Which is quite a big... It's where you get salty water and take the salt out, and then you get clean water.
And then you get salt to put on fish and chips.
Thanks, Freddie.
Is that really what happens to the salt?
I don't think so.
I have no idea.
That'd be smart if
okay,
it was.
Okay, where does the salt go?
Anyway. Yeah.
That's my segment. Do you want to go to a song?
That was a great...
I think we should
just power on. I'm going to do mine really quickly because I'd love to get into Naya's because she has a lot to discuss and it looks really good.
Oh my God, there's pink in your segment.
But,
there is pink.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so part exciting. Of my whole Disney princess thing.
But anyway, speed run. Health Minister Mark Butler has made a few announcements relating to vaping yesterday that is essentially intended to effectively end the retail market that's aimed at teenagers. Good first step. From January, importing disposable vapes will be banned. In the same month, medical practitioners will be able to prescribe vapes to patients who can fill their scripts at pharmacies.
Whoa, this is like hectic.
Yeah, hectic stuff.
So, like,
but I thought they banned importing vapes.
When I heard this stuff,
I was like, hang on, I thought this had already happened and it had just failed.
Well,
but, like,
now,
do you reckon now that
he's put a date on it, and, like, everything I've read, it's like, yes, this is happening.
Does that mean they're going to go around and shut down all the tobacconists?
Yeah, because every shop out on, like, Swanson Street is like, we sell vapes here.
So, I don't think we need to redact this on air. It's common knowledge.
No, exactly.
There
so,
was an interesting thing. Sorry, I'll just jump in quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was listening, I think I was listening to ABC Radio Melbourne, I think, whatever my car was tuned to. And they were talking about, and I feel like this is inevitable, like the comparison between banning vapes and banning cigarettes and how it's inevitable that things will go underground a little bit. There'll be a sense.
I mean, they kind of already are.
They kind of are.
For kids.
But for kids.
Well, I feel like they went underground and then went above ground once any shop could just pop up and sell vapes, and now it's got to go back underground.
Exactly.
But yeah.
I have a question. When they go to the pharmacy, is it because we are going to help those who already have a dependence?
Yes, that's the. So I have a quote about that, actually. But I'm going to finish what's actually happening in terms of the law, because it's like a multi-stage rollout. So that's what's happening in January. In March, individuals importing vapes themselves will be banned, and there'll be an entire ban on non-therapeutic and recreational vape importing. So not even businesses will be able to import those. And laws will be introduced to ban domestic manufacturing, supply, and commercial possession of recreational and disposable vapes, but that doesn't have a timeline attached to it yet. So those Swanston Street shops aren't quite being threatened just yet, which is interesting, but theoretically, how are they going to get their supply if you can't import them? So once they're gone, theoretically. All of this is coming amidst a drastic increase in young people getting hooked on nicotine. The Border Force is getting $25 million, and the Therapeutic Goods Administration is getting almost $57 million over 2 years for enforcement. So Mark Butler said, vaping was sold to governments and communities around the world as a therapeutic product to help long-term smokers quit. We've seen that debunked a little bit. But he continued, it was not sold as a recreational product, especially not one targeted at our kids, but that is what it has become. So very interesting. Do we think that it's working for its intended purpose to help long-term smokers? Have you guys seen that?
Wait, this what you're talking about right now? Or the...
Helping... Vapes helping long-term smokers get off smoking and transfer them onto vaping.
I do.
Yeah?
I know they were... I'm not sure if I should say this, actually.
It's in an... Oh, yeah? Well, it's in the news context.
It was... No, no.
But it's also...
There was
it's
a teacher
personal,
at my school
yeah.
who used... I didn't know he used to be a pack-a-day smoker.
Oh,
but
okay.
he did. And when I was there, he was vaping.
Mm.
Not smoking.
Yeah, because I know someone who got off smoking and onto vaping, but they haven't really quit anything. They're just vaping now, and it has more or less the same effect.
Yeah, I think the circles that I run with, it's just an exchange, a swap out one for the other. I don't really
and I think
know anyone who's
I read that this
smoking.
Is like the first time there's been an increase in young people buying cigarettes in like...
Mm.
A squillion years.
Yeah, because we had a massive drop.
Yeah, well, because they're so expensive because of all the tariffs.
Yeah.
Oh, not tariffs, but whatever they're called, taxes.
But yeah. But I've got something about billboards in here. I'll just speed that through that really quickly. Have you guys seen those billboards with, like, Albo in black and white? It's like he has not stopped the vapes.
No.
Oh, well, I've seen them everywhere. Dandenong Road, I've seen
really? I was just on Dandenong Road yesterday.
They're around.
Okay.
And if you ride on, like, the Skyrail southeast, you'll see heaps of them.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll go visit my cousins.
Yeah, there we go. So essentially those are being put up by the Australian Taxpayers Alliance, which is a retail lobby group. And essentially these billboards look like they want to end the illegal vaping, all of that sort of thing, and help our children. But if you go to the website on there, what the billboards are actually calling for is for the tobacco tax to be lowered. So people will buy tobacco from legitimate shops. And instead of vaping being banned, they want vaping to be legislated and sold similarly to cigarettes.
So what's their stake in it? Is it
they are a lobby group that represents shops that sell tobacco.
Right.
So
Legally,
yes.
Can I just get straight in the head? They want, for the price of cigarettes in places like Woolworths, Audi, to drop and then get rid of tobacconists who are selling illegal products.
They would want the black market to go away. And their solution to that would be by dropping the price of legal tobacconists.
Yeah. I don't feel like that's going
to
make a difference.
Everyone wants the black market to go away. But
that
doesn't mean it's not it's going to. I feel like it's there for a reason. Not necessarily a good one, but it is there
for the black market.
But
I'm for lobbying for, help rather than trying to get rid of stuff like that. Because But it would be like the government saying we're going to shut down any black market trade. It's like you can crack down on things that are above ground, but as soon as they get below ground,
black market is that it's not government regulated.
Exactly. And also the taxes, which are very heavy on tobacco products, don't apply to the black market, obviously.
Yeah.
So they want to get rid of the tax or lower it or something so people will buy from legit shops. It's not really solving the problem. It's just bringing the problem legal, I guess. They've also said that they've also put up billboards in Queensland and the ACT saying you could be jailed for up to 2 years for having a vape, which has been debunked as a scare tactic. Apparently the ATA, the Taxpayers Alliance, was alerted to a man in WA being charged for vaping, but they didn't provide any details on the case. I couldn't find the case. The only thing I could find was a WA man being arrested by the AFP because he was vaping on a flight and wouldn't stop, which... is a violation of many laws, very similar to smoking on a flight. There's also fines and jail time in the ACT if you have a vape without a prescription, but that's only if you have a nicotine vape. There's also a campaign targeted at the federal Greens at the moment calling for them to legalise recreational vaping. The Greens essentially released sort of a statement saying, we'll consider all sides and figure it out, they haven't really committed to either side, all these reforms, which still kind of have to travel through. Just quick yes or no, and let's get into Naya's segment. Are these bans enough and will they work?
No.
No?
No.
No.
Yes.
Oh, okay, wow, interesting. Because I'm no.
Yeah, it'll stop kids from getting them.
What about the black market, Naya?
Older teens, but yeah, I'm talking like media. When we started getting worried about
when
young
we started.
Kids, when we started getting worried about like the young kids, like it's seeping into primary school. I feel like that will be harder to access.
But it's seeping into primary school through things like Snapchat and Instagram and like accounts.
They're also
on those
banning
things.
The flavors though too, aren't they?
But again, like
the black market.
Once you're booked,
but you've got to import them and like. Australia's pretty good at cracking down on customs.
You've been watching a lot of Border Force.
Yeah, you have a lot of faith in the Channel 7 show.
Yeah.
But yeah, there we go. Naya, you have a lot to unpack.
Okay. I'm going to do this very quickly. So I was in Parliament today. It was very fun. We had a lunch and watched the tabling of the gambling and liquor bill. And
my two favourite things.
Yeah,
it's
great.
I'm joking.
well,
I'm joking.
Lunch and tables.
Yeah, exactly. Those are my two favourite things.
Yes.
Joking about the other two.
So, but my highlights, because we watched Question Time and sometime earlier when they were tabling the bill and talking beforehand, but during a discussion about merchandise made by the Labor government, John Pesutto, who we've had on the show...
Friend of the show.
Pulled out a bag that was made by Labor, but you're not allowed props in Parliament. So he got in trouble for that, but... I liked Premier Allen's response, which was, the Leader of the Opposition is being very brave talking about mugs. I thought it was funny.
Oh, the Back in Black mug?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was that one. He just said he was like, he just listed mugs as one of the things that they'd made. He was like, tea towels, and here's the bag I prepared earlier. and he did try to argue his case for having it, but the Speaker Marie Edwards said she was very disappointed.
I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
The other highlight, because it was the final sitting week for the Victorian Parliament for the year, they were getting pretty rowdy during Question Time, which, I mean, is part of Question Time, but they were getting really noisy. She actually stood up at one point. It was like, ooh, okay. She said, you're not school children, this is not muck-up week, and it actually got a bit of a laugh from the gallery.
That's clever.
And some of the people in Parliament. While I was talking to Freddie before the show, I remembered one of my other favourite things, because they yell at each other, of course, was, I can't remember who was speaking, but I think she's in the front here. I've got... just
Naya, has,
Naya
the bill
has the bill
in the studio with us.
Which has her photo
it's
with us.
It's got the committee somewhere. I don't know. I can't remember her name, which is terrible because we actually met her afterwards. She was very, very nice. Oh, here she is. I believe it was Sarah Connolly. Was it? No, it wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it was. Yeah, I think it was. For Loverton.
Lock it in.
Because she was definitely speaking at one point. But somebody from the Labour side of the Parliament, this is in the Assembly, made some comment about the Liberals. And at the same time, people from the Labour benches shouted, shame, and people from the Liberal benches shouted, liar. And I loved it. It was so dramatic.
That is very dramatic.
So the interesting points of the day were something really interesting was there was this motion by the Liberal Party about banning machetes specifically as weapons because they've seen an increase in young people using them, moving from knives to machetes.
Machetes
every time they said machete, like this is like super serious, but I was like. Machete. Really? It's like, it feels like they're saying like chainsaw or something. It just feels like something you'd see in a horror film, but not in real life.
Yeah.
Which of course means it is really serious.
Machete, unless you're like cutting down coconuts.
People do have machetes. Like, whenever you hear about violence, like,
lately,
I feel like people say, they have a machete.
Well, but where are they getting the machete from?
From the shop. I think
from
like,
the shop.
Like from Bunnings.
Like, yeah, there's because they're used as farming equipment. But they want to change it into a prohibited weapon rather than just a weapon that you can be. And so there would be certain laws about just carrying them around with no purpose. But this was all sounding really, and this is just my own observation of the Parliament, it was sounding really, you know, genuine and great. And I think I do not for one moment say that they weren't acting genuinely. Friday's pointing at the time. Yeah. But
just checking, you
the,
know.
The biggest thing was they kept... Sarah's not there yet. They were saying things like, it's a political stunt, it's not genuine. And I just think that's something to look out for in politics, that people are accused of putting things in just to be political. I mean, they both accused each other of it. Anyway, the main reason I was there, liquor and gambling bill.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do machetes have to do with liquor and gambling?
Both are used in both instances.
Oh, it's worth looking out for because they're going to keep talking about it. The bill thing report words, I've had a lot of words today, was tabled today with a total of 96 findings and 61 recommendations after three Auditor General reports. We will expect to hear more tomorrow during the very small half hour designated to responses to any reports tabled, but there were four, so we may not hear heaps. They have 6 months to decide whether they, it's like, agree, we'll think on, there's a couple of options on the recommendations. Government, so I'm really impatient and not looking forward to having to wait. But I might have to leave the Reserve Bank stuff till Friday. But
so
it'll be good.
Our final show on Friday. So make sure you're tuning in at 3 p.m.
to 5 p.m. We're a 2-hour show, so don't dip out halfway through.
Correct. We're going to dress up as our favourite, or not our favourite, just a politician.
Which is wildly effective when you host a radio show.
We will post it on our social media, Freddy.
At SinRepresent.
Which I did just tweet on, by the way.
Oh, did you threads?
No.
Thread up?
I only tweeted. Sorry.
Disappointing.
Maybe you could have done it then.
I'll get on to threading.
Anyway, listen back to Represent. We're everywhere, you know, podcast places.
You can't run away from
social
us.
Media.
We're always here.
Any final thoughts?
I'm going to miss the show. It's going to be so sad. This is Mimi's last show, though.
This is Mimi's last show.
I should mention. Mimi, it's been lovely having you on.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you came back.
Yeah.
I love being in the opposite seat.
Yeah. I bet. All right. Wait. Talk a little bit more while I put our sweep.
They're gonna listen.
Yeah.
It's gonna be sad to finish up the show.
Yeah, it will be sad.
What am I gonna do with my Tuesdays and Fridays now?
Probably something social.
No, I was gonna say probably just go to work again. But
Is it Christmas on a Tuesday or something?
I think it's a Monday.
Well, you'll be shopping for Boxing Day sales on the Tuesday.
Has anyone else noticed that Christmas started really early this year?
Yeah.
It always starts early.
Did you think it started earlier than usual?
Yeah.
I think it hasn't.
I feel like it's like November, and like I did a family Christmas thing with my family like on Saturday.
No, that's weird.
Oh, you don't just mean the shops.
No, no, but also like shops have Christmas decorations. Like
they
we just put our Christmas decorations up at work. Yeah.
I thought it was normal.
Yeah. My friend who works at
but
Kmart before
don't you
uni
know
ended could put them up.
The sacred rule?
What's the sacred rule?
After Halloween, the Christmas decorations go up at Woolworths.
Yes, I agree.
Literally, they are taken down, and the next day, the Christmas are up.
We just had to put them up at Aldi, and I think corporate knows that a lot of stores aren't going to put them up because they made us send photos of them up back to Woolworths.
Wow. Has anyone been into Woolworths Carlton?
No.
Christmas decorations are hectic. My boss literally has every pole covered in tinsel.
I like the Woolies Halloween decorations.
You should go there before the show. Stock up on.
Actually, that's a good idea. Let's do
snacks or something for a party.
All right, ready?
Disappointed the art of betrayal.
What's the word?
Stay
remember
political.
To
stay political.
That was.
You've been listening to a Sin Media podcast, where young people run the show.